Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. We got some breaking news from CNBC. Squawk Box, this billionaire, real estate billionaire, was interviewed, and it sounds like he's been watching the George Gammon YouTube channel. That's for sure, because he basically reiterates exactly what I have been saying for the last 6 months, the last year. But he's also got some fascinating charts. So I wanted to share this video clip with you. Josh, if you could go ahead and pull this up for us. This is on my, well, my new Twitter handle here. The George Gammon is in Twitter jail account of mine, which is at GE Gammon. Still locked out of my main Twitter account, which is at George Gammon. Don't confuse that with a lot of scammers out there with different usernames that use my image and my name. But let's get to this video here. I think you guys will find this fascinating. And again, pay attention to these charts. I think they really distill a lot of the kind of noise down into actionable information.
Impact on the consumer. Yesterday, we heard from Target that things slowed down. This morning, Macy's is saying something similar, that the consumer slowed down significantly in the second half of October and even more in November. Obviously, inventory is building up at some of these places. What have you seen?
You know, I think you misunderstood something I said. I thought the economy was slowing on its own.
Okay.
And so I asked the...
Can you stop there, Josh?
Produce a few slides.
So first of all, this gentleman's name is Barry... let's see here. Oh, I should have had this pulled up. I'm sorry. I Googled him. Now I can't find it. His name is Barry, like Steinhardt or something like that. And he's worth about $4 billion. And he manages a private equity fund that I think specializes in real estate. So he's really got his finger on the pulse of what's happening to things like rents, which is a huge part of the CPI. And he talks about that here in just a moment. So let's go ahead and keep playing here.
I should just go through them really fast with you.
Okay.
The first one shows the savings rates of the country, and hopefully we can pull that up. And it was 33%, and it's down to like 3.5%. So people spend all their stimulus dollars. And that means there's just less money. So we had inflation because we had too much money chasing too few goods, which was basically the supply chain broke. And so people had money. They wanted to buy watches. They wanted to buy cars. There were no cars. They bought used cars. Everything went berserk. And now you have the opposite situation. You have too few dollars chasing too many goods. So the second slide, if we had it, would be inventory.
Go ahead and pause there, Josh, please. So just to clarify, this gentleman's name is Barry Sternlicht. I wanted to be clear there. And what he's talking about, again, what we discussed on this channel ad nauseum, is you lock everyone in a cage, you destroy the supply chains, so the amount of stuff goes down, but then you increase the demand for stuff through quote-unquote free money, and you get massive amounts of inflation. But then what happens is at a certain time, all the stimmies run out. And the people's savings rate plummet. And now all of a sudden, you've got negative real wage growth because people's nominal wages have gone up, but they have not gone up with the rate of inflation. Therefore, their overall purchasing power, once the stimmies are gone, their overall purchasing power is going to be far less than it was in 2019. So he is predicting that as fast as the inflation rate came up, it's going to come crashing back down because all of the variables that went into creating inflation to begin with are all acting now in reverse. Now, there is a caveat there that I would add, and I think he's right on the money regarding stuff you want, but I don't know that he's right when it comes to stuff you need. Maybe it is true. Hopefully rent's coming down. I mean, that would be great for the consumer. And most likely real estate prices coming down. But with energy and food, I think that's something that could remain sticky as far as the consumer price inflations. Now, I think going into 2023, we see a recession. You could have energy prices come down. Hopefully they do, because as someone who's very bullish on commodities long term, I would love that buying opportunity. But I don't know that that takes the overall CPI, or I don't know if what he's talking about takes the overall CPI down to sub 2%. I think that's, it just takes it down from 7 to 6 to 5, maybe down to 4, something like that. That's kind of been my prediction this whole time, that in Q4, Q1 of 2023, Q4 of 2022, we would see disinflation. So we could have asset price deflation, but as far as consumer prices, the CPI, we would see disinflation, meaning prices are going up just at a slower pace. Exactly what he's talking about. Okay, Josh, let's go ahead and keep playing.
Any slides, folks. Anyway, the second slide would be inventories.
And I'll work on the slides.
Maybe okay. The savings one.
There we go.
Okay. Here we go.
So that's inventories, which are rising in and to the moon and beyond.
The other thing you see is not only savings rates declining, but
consumer loans are exploding. So they've run out of cash. They're on their credit cards. I went out to dinner last night in the city. I mean, the restaurants are packed. Chicago's packed. Miami's packed. And you kind of like, who are these people? And they're actually now on their credit cards. So it has to end. The spending spree that was stimulus induced with no savings and on debt, it had to end. So the Fed is really the icing on the cake. I mean, and now they're disrupting and will destroy future growth of the economy, lowering the growth rates because companies won't build plants. We won't build. The real estate complex will grind to a halt, and so they will hurt future growth. And I think the third most important chart is, and this one is key, is the CPI. They got to bring that up. What's actually happening in CPI and why the inflation is going down?
Year-over-year growth.
Okay,
for
that's it. So
Yeah. So
the orange line is actually what the Fed is reporting for rental growth. Uh-huh. And that line was up like 0.7 last
just
month,
because CPI 0.8. doesn't accurately reflect what's
Yeah, but look
happening.
At the blue line. That's actual rents. Actual rents have turned down and the government's reporting them going up because of the lag.
Right.
And so you will see in 4 months' time, the CPI, a third of CPI is this rent growth. And it's going to go down. So the CPI is going to fall. And look at the other components of CPI, oil. And we're going to frack and drill our way to happiness in the United States. We have plenty of oil. Mm-hmm. And now money, because it's really a really interesting place, you can get great returns investing in carbon because nobody wants to go there. You're going to get oil prices.
Got it. Hey, guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. So I don't know if fracking is the solution as far as I don't know how much that will impact prices. There's a lot of components that go into the price of oil. As you guys know, there's a lot of nuance there. And it's just not as simple as, well, we can just go ahead and frack. I mean, who's going to invest in these things? To his point, you know, now that's with ESG, that's persona non grata. So it is a great opportunity. I agree with him. But I don't know that fracking is going to bring oil prices down that dramatically anytime soon. But what he's saying there about the CPI is really insightful from the standpoint. About 33% is owner equivalent rents. I think that's how the Fed titles it. And this is just kind of almost an arbitrary number, but it's supposed to reflect how much you could rent a specific house for. So this is what they use for housing prices in the CPI basket instead of just the price of the actual house itself and what houses are selling for. So what I didn't realize is there is a 2-4 month lag in the, usually with the owner equivalent rent, the metric the Fed uses for the CPI and actual rents. And if you saw that chart, we saw about 2 or 3 months ago that rent increases really started to roll over. Now it looks like they're still increasing in aggregate total. I know a lot of places rents are actually coming down, but as that goes down, you know, as the increases become lower and lower, and we go into potentially rent where the rents are not only increasing at a slower rate, but they're actually decreasing, then this has a massive impact on the CPI number because owner equivalent rent is such a high percentage of the overall metric, again, about 33%. So what he's saying here, what he's seeing is through his real estate that rents are coming down as a reflection of what's happening in the broader economy. He said the stimmy checks are done. All that purchasing power, that artificial, that sugar rush has worked through the system. Now, and this is proof, or the proof is the savings rate has come down to such a dramatic degree, and we have all of the negative real wage growth that we talked about earlier, and the retailers are showing this because inventories are skyrocketing, which is not only a result of them ordering too much, the bullwhip effect that Michael Burry talks about, but also because people just don't have the money to continue buying at the pace they were buying in even 2019, let alone 2020 and 2021. All right, Josh, you have anything to add to that?
No, I sent you some charts kind of regarding this too. Single family houses are down past where they weren't during COVID, but
that now probably... which part of single family homes? Which data point are you referring to?
It was just like all like single families.
Well, it's not the price of the single families. Well, I thought it was. Wasn't this specific to the demand that home builders are seeing?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, well, let's pull it up here for the, because we're going to mention it. We want to be as accurate as possible. So can you pull up that story really quick, or at least the headline?
Yes, I'm grabbing it right now. What were you seeing when you were back in the States talking to Ken McElroy and Hartman?
Rents are getting soft, that's for sure. And I think Kenny was saying that what he's seen is that rents are still increasing, but at a much, much slower rate. Their occupancy levels are still pretty good, but you got to remember that Kenny, all of his apartment complexes, and he's runs about $1.5 billion in his fund. So in other words, he owns about $1.5 billion worth of apartment units. You got to keep in mind that they're all in Oklahoma, Texas, and Arizona. So these are probably going to be some of the last places to experience a decline in rents. I think if he would have had properties in New York, in California, in Oregon, in Washington, in certain areas of Idaho, Denver, I think he could have had a different tune, a different story, that rents might have actually been decreasing and not just softening as far as the level of increases. And I think Hartman was pretty much saying the same thing, but there again, you got to realize that Hartman deals specifically in these linear markets like Indianapolis, Kansas City, and Nashville, and he only buys these starter homes. So, you know, it's like the 3-bed, 2-bath, 1,200 square foot house that you just can't build anymore. We will never see that more inventory come online in the form of new houses. Now, we may see a lot of inventory come up for sale from the standpoint of people just have to sell their house because that they have to unlock that purchasing power, and maybe money gets tight because we go into a recession, meaning that they can't just automatically refi their house to extract that equity. And they actually have to sell the house to remove that purchasing power that they now need because they are unemployed. Their crypto portfolio is down 95%, if not, you know, lost everything. Their 401k is down 34%. 30 or 40%. Their bond portfolio is down 30 or 40%. I mean, we have to remember here, and I know I say this all the time, but for those of you who are new, the United States economy is completely built upon asset prices, and I would argue asset bubbles. So I don't think it's possible for these asset bubbles to just absolutely crash and not have it negatively impact the economy to the point where it puts us straight into a recession, absent the government coming in and doing even more stimulus, quote unquote, that will make the inflation problem worse down the line. Even if temporarily we go into a recession that brings the inflation rate down to, like we were saying earlier, 4.5%, something like that. So main takeaway is it's not just me that's kind of sounding the alarm bells and giving these warnings. It's billionaires such as this Barry Sternlicht gentleman on CNBC that is literally saying the exact same thing that I have been saying for 6 months or a year. And it's not like I'm any type of genius. All you have to do is just look at the writing on the wall, for heaven's sakes. Just look at the numbers, look at financial history, and then just connect a couple dots. So if you got a portfolio right now, what I am doing is I'm just risk off, risk off, risk off. I'm very happy to have quite a bit of dry powder and just waiting for an opportunity to buy assets that I want to own for the long term a lot cheaper than they are today. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.